following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to FPC Radio Live. It is a Thursday. That's right, we are powering through this week. It is almost the weekend, and I don't know, what is the weekend? I don't really know. We haven't had weekends off here at FPC in a long time because, hey, guess what? That's when the NFL happens, and last weekend was certainly one of our busiest ones, and, you know, we're going to have a little bit of a break here coming up, you know, over the next couple months, but for the most part, weekends are the busiest time for most of us. But here on FPC Radio, we come at you live Monday through Friday for the most part. For the most part. And today we are live. And I do not have my slick backed hair. Clearly, I rolled right out of bed to do this show because, you know what? It's the only thing that gets me up in the morning is talking to my good buddy Mike. Mike, what's happening, my friend?
No.
La, la, la. I'm doing well, buddy. I'm doing well. Yeah, you got the fluffy hair going.
Yep.
I got the scruff going. So, yeah, we're completely
appearance
completely.
Is not important.
No, not
yours
at all.
Or his.
Not at all.
Yours
FPC
or mine.
Live. No, we are here regardless whether we're, you know, unkempt or uncivilized. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. We keep the grind going. Because we have to, because we're the only ones that can bring you the content the way only we can.
That's right. That is right. And about 10 seconds on the show, we already got a Seinfeld reference outside of the traditional hello. Appearance is not important, Mike. Appearance is not important. No, of course, we would not want to
just... The pinkish hue is important.
Yeah. I feel like I got like pink eye right now. That's what it feels like. I that feeling like when you wake up and I slept in a little extra today. I needed to. I needed a little extra sleep, a little beauty sleep. Clearly didn't work.
You're entitled to.
Yeah, clearly didn't work, but all right. You know, when you wake up and you just kind of feel like just all out of sorts, like you feel like my eyes feel puffy right now. And then, mm-hmm. You know, I'm working through it. I got my caffeine going. I'm working, you know, I got about half the amount of caffeine I normally do. So I'm a work in progress, Mike. I'm a work in progress.
But, exactly.
Yesterday, so we didn't get a chance to talk about this the other day, and it didn't really work into our Aaron Rodgers talk because, well, it's a different sport. But I did want to mention it because this is something that obviously has been an issue for a while, and it's player safety in the NHL. So over the last handful of days, there has been yet another incident with Tom Wilson of the Washington Capitals. Now, the level of egregiousness, whatever you want to call it, the level of intent or just the hit itself, it's really kind of doesn't matter at this point when it comes to Tom Wilson because, you know, again, it seems like anytime you see his name trending, you know it's for the wrong reasons. And I don't want to call it the bigger picture, but a big part of the story is also the failure yet again of the NHL's Player Safety Committee who, you know, determines suspensions and of course, fines when it comes to hits and stuff like that. Only fined him $5,000 when I thought it very much deserved a suspension. So, naturally, what you had happen over the course of the last couple days was the New York Rangers come out with a pretty scathing message or press release directed towards player safety and urging them or at least, you know, being very strongly worded in telling them that they should have suspended Wilson. And coincidence or not, John Davidson and Jeff Gordon, GM and president of New York Rangers, were fired yesterday. Now, they claim there's nothing to do. It was just purely coincidence. And, you know, it happens. The Rangers just got knocked out of the playoffs. This could be a performance issue. Sorry. My phone was ringing in my ear. But anyways, this was not related to the statement that they made, according to what the reports are saying. But, you know, at the same time, this has been quite a mess, and it really culminated in what we saw yesterday, which was the Capitals versus the Rangers. And if anyone, any Bruins fans out there, remember Bruins versus Stars not too long ago, there was a very similar incident where, well, hey, right off the bat, you had players fighting. And this is a situation of players obviously being, self-policing themselves. And, so this is what happened at the start of the game.
Rangers' third consecutive defeat. They will start the game with Kevin Rooney, Colin Blackwell, and Phil DiGiuseppe. For the Caps, their very effective line, Carl Hagelin, Nick Dowd, and Garnet Hathaway. They combined for 2 goals, 3 assists.
Here we go. Right,
and
off,
right off the faceoff, three fights simultaneously. Rooney and Dowd. DiGiuseppe going at it with Hathaway, Blackwell, and Hagelin. 1 second in.
First of all, classy move by Blackwell. He had Hagelin down and he didn't throw an extra punch. Hathaway and DiGiuseppe are really getting after one another.
Oh, gotta love it, Mike. Gotta love it. Obviously, you know, anyone who's paid attention to the how hockey works probably saw that coming, just based on the nature of how this game's played, and saw the the dropping of the gloves. I happen to like it. I do. I'm a big proponent of fighting in hockey. I think there is a place for it. I think it serves a great purpose. In this situation, it's unfortunate that this was necessary, because had the NHL done what they probably should have done, and which is hand down a pretty lengthy suspension to a guy that is a repeat offender, you may or may not have gotten what we got last night. But unfortunately they didn't. They dropped the ball again, and it looks like the issues with player safety continue for the NHL and that office. And I'll be interested to see what happens, you know, down the line with this, and people want to sit there and say, oh, well, you know, if Tom Wilson was on your team. Yeah, well, you know, at a certain point, you got to learn how to evolve as a player. And, you know, everyone, especially if you're a Bruins fan, you know, this is the thing, this is the comeback you get quite a bit. Oh, Brad Marchand toes the line. Well, he used to. And that's not saying that, like, you know, he didn't take a lot of it took a lot of learning for him to evolve into the player that he is now, which unfortunately he still can't drop that reputation. And I'm not saying if it's fair or not. I mean, look, he you know, pushed the line when he was a younger player. It's how he kind of broke into the league. It's like he had to find his niche, and it just so happened that he happens to be one of the most skilled players in the league. And it's kind of like the same with Tom Wilson. You know, Tom Wilson is a great hockey player. I mean, we're not talking about just a guy who goes out there with the sole intent of just injuring or hitting someone because they don't really play the game well. No, Tom Wilson plays the game incredibly well. And I, you know, from a talent offensive standpoint, from a player on the ice outside of those incidents standpoint, absolutely you want him on his team. But there's been far too many incidences, too many, oh, well, you know, this is really close, or like, I mean, it wasn't too long ago that he drove Brandon Carlo's head into the boards. And I know Brandon Carlo has missed time and just got back for a different injury, but he missed weeks with a concussion because of Tom Wilson. And so we're not talking about a guy who just happened to accidentally put himself in a bad situation. That happens. We're talking about, again, a guy who's a repeat offender. And, you know, it seems like the NFL player safety looks at, did I say NFL? NHL, sorry. I'm thinking I'm mixing the two leagues up, alphabet soup there. NHL player safety seems to look at all his incidences in a vacuum, which is the exact opposite of what you want to do with Tom Wilson. So it was fun to see what happened last night, because, again, the anticipation of these two teams going at each other after the incident, after the message, the note on Twitter, all that stuff created for some great drama last night. But unfortunately, the catalyst for it was yet another bad Tom Wilson play. And, you know, the legitimate question is, how are they going to stop it? You know, if I'm Tom Wilson, $5,000 isn't going to deter me from playing on the edge. Certainly right. not based on what they're making. So,
yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, you had to know this was coming. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Rangers issuing the statement, the lack of the suspension, you knew this was going to come. 50 seconds into the game, Brendan Smith does what he does. And, you know, I mean, I thought it was an appropriate response. I didn't have any problem with what the Rangers did last night.
Oh, not at
all. I
think
that in a lot of ways, you know, if you didn't expect it, then I don't know what sport you're watching, or I really don't know if you're a fan of any professional sport, because you knew things like this were going to happen. Players are going to step up. They're going to protect their teammates. We see it in other sports, too. It's not just unique to the NHL. It's also, you know, NFL players will, you know, give a guy an extra shot if they think that one of their players has been done wrong or taken a tough shot. They'll protect their quarterback or their running back or their wide receiver or defensive back on the opposite side if they think they've been cheap-shotted. We see it in Major League Baseball all the time. You know, I mean, you get a shot, somebody, you know, takes a swipe at someone, they're going to go right back, and pitchers are going to protect. So you have to expect these types of things. And, you know, it's just with Wilson, with regard to Wilson, I'm glad that you mentioned his prowess and what he's able to do. I've seen so many people over the course of the last few days just refer to him as a goon or a thug. He's far from that in this league, but he's got a lot of maturing to do, and he's got a lot of growing up to do when it comes into coming into his own. If this is what he wants to be remembered for, if this is the style that he's going to continue to play, then he's going to be labeled as such, and it's going to be hard for anyone to take him seriously. Our good buddy Joel on Twitter said, why should we be surprised that Tom Wilson is a bully? Anybody ever seen Back to the Future? Folks, for anybody that hasn't, Biff's name and the actor that played Biff Tannen is Thomas F. Wilson, Tom Wilson. So, you know, I think that it's... I don't mean to make light of the situation. I just thought that was funny. Anytime I can work a Back to the Future reference in here, I'm going to do it. But in any case, completely agreed. And, you know, now we'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe this wakes the league up a little bit. And maybe they realize that maybe they have to be, you know, more of the police force on this than they have been in the past. Well, I think the jury's still out on that, and your guess is as good as mine, but we'll see.
What they need to do is be more consistent. I mean, I think that's what any fan will tell you when it comes to player safety and just the how they handle suspensions and discipline when it comes to these actions. Because, you know, from a fan standpoint, as someone who follows the league and obviously covers the league, I see it as just random. I don't see any rhyme or reason to it. You know, mm-hmm. in some cases there's past incidences that get taken into account, and others there aren't. And in this case, like I said, with Tom Wilson, it seems like they look at every situation he's in a vacuum. Because, you know, yeah, maybe if you, in a vacuum, look at the situation and say, oh, you know what, sometimes, you know, things just get out of hand. It may look dirty, but it's not necessarily that dirty. But no, you can't do that because, well, past actions have consequences. And in this case, it leads to more a feeling of, well, you know, he intended to do what he did. And that's how I can't reconcile, and I can't look at this and say, how does what happened only deserved a $5,000 fine? And again, if you want to go back, check it out from the other night. I'll try to bring it up here if I can find it before the show's out. But, you know, Tom Wilson obviously took, you know, went beyond the, you know, there's a certain amount of appropriate fighting and physicality. When a player's down on the ground and you get extra punches into their face, that's not part of the sport. That's not tough guy hockey, you know, as I've seen no. some suggest. You know, I mean, I don't know if there was anything more embarrassing than Ryan Whitney getting on social media and crying like a baby the other day. You know, Mr. Spit and Chicklets, you know, that whole nonsense. But that was embarrassing because he just looked like a child, and he's like a 39-year-old man getting up there saying, oh, people are getting too sensitive. No, I mean, it's a dangerous play. I mean, Buchnevich got knocked to the ground, his head got slammed to the ice, and again, you can end it right there, but no, Tom Wilson had to keep going. And, you know, if you're going to sit there and pretend like people complaining about that or babies or whatever, I mean, I guess that's right on Barstool's brand, though. So I'm not too surprised. That's kind of like their, you know, tough guy, macho, you know, oh, you know, we're not wussies, all that nonsense. So
If yeah, anyone, there's yeah. tough guy to an extent, but I mean, you know, there's a difference between being a tough guy and just being a thug. And Tom Wilson's really running that gamut very, very
resistantly. I was talking about the Barstool people, the tough guy macho, you know, the alpha mentality, like, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's going to be celebrated by some because they're going to look at it and go, oh, the wussification of the NHL and, you know, CTE and these, you know, problems and injuries are very real. Anyone that's hiding their head in the sand or trying to downplay it has no idea what these things can cause and the damage that they can cause, not just physically, emotionally. I mean, it has tolls on families. I mean, there's far-reaching implications there. Anybody thinking that it doesn't just basically doesn't care.
And that's one of the things that people were saying, like, oh, well, and 20 years ago, this was just part of it. Well, yeah, that was 20 years ago. And look, I'm very nostalgic about, you know, older hockey as well. Like, I love the physicality, but I'm also not going to just turn a blind eye to, you know, potential life-altering injuries because I want a little bit more action. I mean, they're trying to make the game safer, and what was once allowed 20 years ago doesn't mean it's allowed today. So that's not an excuse. Right. So this whole, oh, these guys wouldn't last. I don't care about that. I mean, you go ahead, keep doing that, and die at 60 because you're suffering brain injury. If that's what you're proud of, then go ahead and be proud of that. But the reality of it is the NHL is trying to get safer. And, you know, that means eliminating unnecessary risk of injury. And this was one of them. And again, if you can't get on board with that, and if you can't see the difference between, you know, that and actual physical within the limits play, I don't get it. And that's kind of the classic, you know, retort from a lot of these. Well, what's it going to become? Floor hockey or going to take the... No, that's exactly the opposite of what's happening. This game is still as physical as it's ever been. But the problem is, you know, the NHL just hasn't figured out how to police it yet. And that's one of the problems.
I mean, there's a difference between being physical and then being cheap shots. Giving a guy a shot in the back of the head when his face down.
Well, fans don't know the difference either.
Like, you know, like Tom Wilson did with Pavel the other night. You can't do that. And that's where the league really has to come down. That's where the league has to draw the line in the sand or draw the line in the ice or whatever type of colloquialism you want to use, folks. But that's where they need to come in and they need to say, look, this is not allowed. That's be physical, you know, mix it up. That's part of the game. It's part of the sport, but cheap shots have to be policed and they have to be policed heavily. And that's exactly what happened the other night.
Well, it's like, I was going to say like Al Bundy drawing the line or no, I'm sorry. Spare Tire Dixon drawing the line that Al Bundy had to go by. I love that.
The late great Bubba Smith.
Yeah, that's right. Made two guest appearances on Married with Children. I love those late 80s, early 90s football NFL stars that constantly littered that show. You know, because Al, you know, obviously big time, four touchdowns in a single game. You're going to get a lot of the contemporary football stars on as guest spots. But
Terry Bradshaw, that we're going to name the scoreboard after him. That was great. That was funny.
They had, you know, the Polkai versus the Jacqueline Onassis first ladies, the big game, the big undefeated versus undefeated squad. That had quite a bit of guest appearances. You had obviously Bubba Smith, Ken Stabler was in that, LT. Yeah. Who else am I missing? There was a bunch, but always loved that stuff. But yeah, Spare Tire Dixon, Bubba Smith. Unfortunately, rest in peace, Bubba Smith. But he had a good, nice little run there on Married with Children. I always loved it. But speaking of football stars, we spent a significant amount of time this week talking about Aaron Rodgers, and we're going to continue to do so because guess what? It is the hot button topic of the week of the offseason, really, and I don't know how my anticipation hasn't reached I hate saying this because I absolutely hate this movie, and this is a discussion for another day, has reached a fever pitch.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, it hasn't quite hit that fever pitch. Oh, God, I hated that movie so much. Anyways.
There are some people up here in New England that love it. I can't understand it.
Put it this way. Jimmy Fallon is a Yankees fan, folks. All right? Right. All right? Come on. I'm getting worked up, Mike. I'm getting worked up.
Getting upset.
Yeah, Ian's getting upset. No, this interest hasn't reached a fever pitch yet because we talked about it so far this week, and really a move isn't going to be made until after June 1st. You know, now how long after June 1st, that I don't know. It could be immediately after June 1st. It could be a couple months. We could still be in for quite a wait. But each and every day that I wake up, I'm convinced even more that Aaron Rodgers will not play for the Green Bay Packers this year. And now I said it, I believe, on Monday, and you have to take all these reports with a little bit of grain of salt, because if there's any group of people that know better than anyone about, you know, taking reports from national reporters not 100% at truth, it's Patriots fans and obviously folks that follow Tom Brady. So don't believe every single thing that you read or hear, because this is the time of just throwing crap against the wall and seeing what happens. It's not a coincidence that, you know, no one was talking about this. Then as soon as it's mentioned, everyone has their sources. Now everyone has information on it. So let's pump our brakes a little bit. But, you know, kind of adding to what we've already heard, we heard that Aaron Rodgers was apparently, you know, mocking general manager, which, you know, when you think about this entire situation, it kind of falls in line with what we know about Aaron Rodgers, just kind of as a person. And, you know, we've never seen him as, you know, he got, you know, obviously notoriously upset that San Francisco passed on him. And right. He's held that as a chip on his shoulder. And I'm not downplaying that. Obviously, I do think falling to 24th in the first round is not on the same par as going 199th overall, as some people might want to suggest. But, like, you know, he used that as motivation, and that's good for him. Obviously, I think in San Francisco's case, they made the wrong choice when it came to Alex Smith versus Aaron Rodgers. And you know, look, Alex Smith had a fine career. I'm not saying anything against it, but, you know, I think we'd all sit here and say, oh, Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback. Anyway, so he's always kind of used that, and, you know, he's kind of been standoffish for quite some time. You know, the relationship with him and Brett Favre was notoriously rocky, especially early on. And, you know, he's always kind of had a bit of a attitude to him. And I think this is all playing out. So when we hear these little tidbits, it's like, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Whether or not it's true, you know, I guess we'll find out. You know, eventually, you know, the truth does come out, but unless it's the 2015 PSI numbers from footballs. But eventually the truth does come out, and I think we're going to find that a lot of these things, although maybe a little exaggerated, were very much true. Because, you know, in my opinion, I just look at it and I'm like, yeah, this kind of falls in line with the personality. And one of the reasons why, you know, these people who just so lazily will sit there and say, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers would have won X amount of Super Bowls or had this much success under Bill Belichick. I'm like, no, he wouldn't have. You know what I mean? No, he wouldn't have. There's no way he would have lasted 20 years under Bill Belichick. I mean, he's far too sensitive of a guy to and I don't mean, like, you know, crying at a nice sunset sensitive. I'm talking about taking things personal sensitive. There's no way he would have lasted with the criticism. He hated Mike McCarthy. He was upset, and the more information we learn about that situation, like, yeah, you can be upset with the head coach, but he took a very selfish route in being upset. And I think those are the things that, again, you start to put it all together, and maybe a little bit of it's exaggerated, but you kind of think about it big picture, and like, yeah, this actually kind of really makes sense, to the point where, yeah, maybe you do believe that he was telling free agents and his teammates that he was or was not coming back. So it gets juicier and juicier every day, and I love it because it's not Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, the reports yesterday about the Jerry Krause thing, I mean, yeah, that's pretty scathing. Anyone that saw The Last Dance or anyone that lived through it like we did knows that Jerry is essentially the bad guy in that dynasty. He's known as kind of the one that broke everything up, or just was, you know, the disruptive force behind the scenes between the triumvirate that was Jordan, Phil Jackson, and to a lesser extent, Scottie Pippen. But at the same time, you look at the reports now on Aaron, and you see Schefter's report this morning, Adam Schefter of ESPN, reporting that Green Bay is very much considering and very much looking at options for quarterbacks to be brought in. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, my friend Jake Dolagala is one of those names that's floating around out there. Recently released Patriots practice squatter, big, huge kid, a lot of upside supposedly. I really was looking forward to watching him in training camp a little bit, but when you have a quarterback room that includes Cam Newton, Mac Jones, and Jarrett Stidham, there's not much room for a fourth guy on that list. So, bottom line, folks, it's going to be interesting in Green Bay as they start to bring in guys, as they start to look at options at the quarterback position. How are they going to be able to translate that? What happens now to Aaron Rodgers? You're hearing the Broncos rumors heat up again. You're hearing the Raiders rumors heat up again. And as we get closer and closer to June 1st, you're going to hear that. I don't think there'll be a move before June 1st. There's just too much incentive on both sides for that to be the, you know, line of demarcation, supposedly, and then, you know, be able to move forward from there. But I still, each day, that percentage gets higher and higher. I think I went 90-10, you know, when we started talking about this last week. I'm probably at like 95-5 now, and that keeps growing exponentially by the day. I just don't see a way that this is going to be able to come down, because Aaron's going to dig his heels in. There's not going to be a cooling period. Regardless of how heated or how difficult things became in New England between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and I don't think we'll really ever know, maybe after everyone is done and Bill Belichick's retired, Tom Brady's retired, who knows, maybe we will get some of the full story there. But cooler heads prevailed on more than one occasion. These guys get heated with each other. We've talked about it several times. We've talked about players and coaches having strong opinions on the future of the franchise, on which way these things need to go. And all of a sudden, when you look at, you know, two big time personalities like Brady and Belichick, cooler heads prevailed more often than not. And I think it just got to a point last year where Brady was just ready for a new challenge. He was ready for a new gig. But Aaron, I think, has already reached that point. And I don't think he's going to go back. I don't see him softening his stance, especially if Green Bay's digging their heels in and moving on themselves. Well, so this is going to get interesting over the next couple of days.
And you brought up the comparisons to the Bulls, and I think that's where the biggest disconnect happens. And, you know, I saw someone, I think someone tweeted this or suggested it or tried to, you know, but, like, you know, if Aaron Rodgers has the mentality that there is a dynasty being broken up, well, that's a problem right there, because I don't think anyone will sit here and suggest that the Packers are a dynasty. And I think that's the dynamic that's being lost on a lot of people, because, you know, it's a good it's a fair comparison in the sense of the dynamic and kind of the disconnect between some of the biggest members of the organization, involving players on the court, or in this case on the field. But the comparisons kind of stop short there, because, you know, you're you know, Brady and Belichick obviously got along for years, and far more than I think any other singular player would have. And but that also came with a lot of success, and we have not seen that from the Packers. And I've been one of Rodgers' harshest critics. Not that I don't like Aaron Rodgers, but I've certainly been quick to point out his failures, because I think all too often they get forgotten and kind of washed over. And we hear quite often that, you know, hey, the guy needs more help. Well, how much help does he need? And we keep bringing this up, this entire conversation about his future. And it's like, well, okay, if he leaves Green Bay, what's a better option for him? And I'm still kind of lost on that, on all that. So, you know, I like the comparison. Again, you know, part of this problem is maybe Aaron Rodgers does view this as a, maybe not, he doesn't go home and say, oh, we're part of a dynasty, but subconsciously, maybe that's how he feels. Like, maybe he feels at this point that it's so, the opportunity for a quote-unquote dynasty is gone, and he doesn't believe it's his fault, and that's a problem. Because, and I've pointed out before, regardless of all the things that you point out, there's two situations, Mike, in which they could have gone to the Super Bowl. And all of a sudden you're talking about a three-time appearance, you know, maybe two-time winner, three-time winner, who knows. 2014 and last year. All right? You got eight interceptions by your defense. Opportunities. On top of opportunities to score points. Of those eight interceptions, 24 points. Mm. 24 points off eight interceptions. That's not cutting it. And no. Regardless of all the, oh, well, he dropped the onside kick, he dropped that. None of that matters if you put points up when you're supposed to. And that's right. Really the biggest difference. So for all the blaming that gets thrown out, oh, it's Mike McCarthy's fault. I'm sure I wish I could talk to Mike McCarthy right now, because I would love to hear what he has to say about all this. Because I thought he just got his reputation got put in the toilet because of Aaron Rodgers. And I don't think it deserved to be. You know, it's Mike McCarthy's fault. Whoever dropped the onside kick, the tight end, it's his fault. It's Kevin King. It's this, is that. No, it's, look, Aaron Rodgers is part of it. He has not played his best in the most crucial moments. And that's what football is about. So when people say, oh, look at these great numbers, look at his passer rating, I don't care what happens when, you know, he gets extra opportunities for his team. Well, he didn't deliver, and that's part of it. So all of a sudden, you talk about one game he delivers, all of a sudden he goes to the Super Bowl two times. He delivers in two more games. Guess what? That's three Super Bowl appearances for Aaron Rodgers, and now we're not talking about this underachiever. We're talking about a guy who's been to three Super Bowls and maybe won two or three. So, you know, as much as he wants to blame, or at least the perception is that he wants to blame everyone else, he's been a huge part of why this team has failed in the biggest moments. And that ultimately is the biggest difference.
Right.
Biggest difference between him and a guy like Tom Brady.
Yeah. Without question. Without question. And, you know, I mean, there's certain legacies and there's certain, you know, things that you have to live up to as a quarterback. And it's, yeah, I can see the issue that you're having with, you know, the comparisons to the Bulls and even the Patriots, because of the amount of winning these teams did, the dynasties that they built. No one can question the legacy of the dynasty of the New England Patriots or the Chicago Bulls. They were dynasties. They always will be. The Green Bay Packers never reached that level under Aaron Rodgers. They never did. And at that point, you have to sit there and you have to wonder, and it's fair game to wonder, why is that? You know, was it because of the players that surrounded him, or was it really more because of the play that, you know, that he provided at times? Like you said, 24 points off of eight turnovers in the playoffs is not going to cut it. You have to take better care of the ball. You have to be able to capitalize on opportunities and win. We've seen the Patriots do it, you know, hundreds of times over the course of their dynasty in the last 20 years. So, with regard to Aaron, I don't think you're seeing the last of the juicy tidbits, like you like to call it. I think you're going to continue to see them. I think they're going to continue to see them come out on both sides. I think Green Bay is starting to amp it up a little bit as well. They're going to probably start to fire back a little bit. It's been a lot on Aaron, you know, his side and showing things of that nature. I think you'll see some come back now, but at the same time, it's going to be a back and forth between both sides. But this ultimately has to get worked out. They have to determine where he's going to be. And again, I said this the other day, if you're the team that's willing to go the extra mile for Aaron Rodgers, how much extra are you going to go? Because you have to be wary of his dedication to football long term. I don't foresee Aaron Rodgers playing more than maybe one or two more years. And that may be naive of me at this point, but I don't see his long-term dedication to football being a good long time. So what are you going to do? How are you going to do it? What are you willing to give up to bring Aaron Rodgers in if it's only going to be for a couple of years? Teams have to be very mindful of that.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, that's something we talked about a little bit the other day. This isn't a slight on Aaron Rodgers, because, again, at this point, he's played 16 years, or he's in his 16th season, so we're not... It's just not easy to play into your 40s, and I think Tom Brady's kind of normalized it, although, again, he's the only one that's really doing it, which is baffling to me. I mean, the rarity in which he accomplishes things gets talked about like it's done by everyone, or at least it can be easily accomplished. Well, of course, Tom did it. Well, anyone could do it. Well, I don't think so. And at this point, you know, to reach his 40s, what, two more seasons before that for Aaron Rodgers? So, you know, you're talking about someone playing, what, five, six more seasons? No, I just don't see it from Aaron Rodgers. And certainly, I don't know if he'd be willing, the moment anything went wrong, to suck it up and go through it. And everyone, again, that's why I say it's a bad comparison when you're talking about him and Tom Brady in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. Because
Right. Not
only did Tom take the situation of drafting Jimmy Garoppolo and ran with it, well, he played and succeeded and won. So, I mean, there's a difference right there. So, this is not going away. I think the smartest thing for the Packers is to trade him, because they're a franchise that isn't, you know, just got a couple of years left. They have to realize that, well, it's very clear that he doesn't want to be here. Right. Like, I don't think this is just a play, we're going to call his bluff and he's going to be like, all right, well, you're right. No, this is, I think, pretty legitimate that he does not want to play in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And I think at a certain point, it does your franchise a disservice to force it. Like, you know, you can sit here and you can sit there and say, oh, well, he can't, you know, what's the worst that can happen when you have Aaron Rodgers on the field? Well, you can stunt the development of other players. If he goes out there and truly just doesn't care, then that can have a negative effect on players and the team in general, far beyond just, you know, having a guy with a bad attitude in the locker room. Because we know that's going to happen. Yeah. If they bring him back and he doesn't want to be there, at the very least, you're getting a pretty sour attitude out of him for most of the season.
Not to mention the fact that you're bringing in new players, you're bringing in rookies. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're going to bring in guys that you want to buy in to the system. If you're Matt LaFleur, you're looking at this situation and saying, okay, I want guys who are going to be here. Mm-hmm. I want players that are going to set the example, that are going to dedicate themselves to being here. And this is not, and I heard this the other day about, oh, well, you know, if Aaron comes in with a little bit of an attitude, well, you know, not for anything, but Tom Brady didn't go to OTAs. I did hear that the other day, and it's a ridiculous comparison because I don't think anybody ever questioned Tom's dedication to his teammates or to winning on the field or what he needed to do to be here in New England to get the job done. With Aaron, it's going to be not a question of whether or not he wants to win or his dedication to football, but it's dedication to the franchise. And if you have your face of the franchise and that's questionable, that sets an example. I don't care what, no matter what's said, you can say all the lip service you want in public and release that to the media. But if there's any question about that, it's going to permeate that locker room and it's going to have an effect on the new players. It's going to have an effect on the rookies. And that sets the wrong example, and that can cause turmoil within a locker room that's very difficult to contain once it's been released. So that's a good point, Ian, because in a lot of ways, they need to nip this in the bud, and they need to do it early before they start these off-season workout programs, the organized mandatory portions of them, to get these players in. You want to make sure that the guys that are going to be in the locker room this year are all dedicated and all on the same page. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is on the same page anymore as these guys.
No, and it can set your development back. Look, if I was the Packers, I'd trade him on June 2nd. You know, as soon as you can get that little bit of a cap relief, I'd find the best partner. Now, again, maybe they let's not pretend like they didn't screw up in this situation. And if the 49ers were really offering a third-round pick, you should have taken it. Or the third overall pick, you should have taken it. I mean, because I think that's the absolute highest value you're going to get for Aaron Rodgers. So I don't think it's going to be certainly that high now, but, you know, just go out and find the right deal. It doesn't have to be this blockbuster, because at this point, I think, you know, the perceived value of what you would give up for Aaron Rodgers, I think, is overstated a little bit, because, you know, at the end of the day, he isn't, I don't know how to put it. He's you know, age is a factor, certainly. He's a great quarterback, but he's not, again, he's not what he perceives himself, and I think some fans perceive him. And that is a leader, quote unquote, kind of going back to the theme earlier, the leader of a quote unquote dynasty. So he's a great quarterback, no doubt. But all too often people are confusing him with, you know, a guy who's going to come around and immediately take a team to the Super Bowl. And it's like, you know, and I asked this question kind of tongue in cheek at first, but, you know, now I really mean it. It's like, well, he can't even take his own team back to the Super Bowl. How do you expect him to walk in on day one? You know, this is kind of the conversation when everyone at one point was saying, oh, anyone could have done what Tom Brady did. Well, Aaron Rodgers can't even bring the Packers back to the Super Bowl. What makes you think that he's going to walk into another team and in year one do exactly what he couldn't do with, let's face it, a pretty talent-heavy team? You know, this guy hasn't been, like, completely, screwed over because the team refuses to get talent around him. And it's like, I love, you know, everyone talks about defense this, defense that. Well, guess what? If you look at from, I think it's like 2009 to 2019, you know, Patriots, Packers. Packers, on average, had a better DVOA-ranked defense.
Yep.
Which, you know, if you talk to, you know, Packers fans or Aaron Rodgers fans, apologists, I'd like to call them, you would think that the Patriots always had the number one defense and Aaron Rodgers was constantly working with the 31st or 32nd ranked defense, and that's obviously not true. So, again, I ask the question, how much more help does the guy need, all right? And, you know, what team would he go to that's a better situation? And unless he goes to a team where he's a backup to Tom Brady, it's not going to be a better situation. If I'm the Packers, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
Move in the right direction, regardless of whether Jordan Love is the guy or not. Squeezing a couple disgruntled years out of Aaron Rodgers where you go 6-9-1 or 6-10-1 or whatever it is now, isn't worth the headache that you're going to get and potentially the setback that some of these players are going to have being around a guy who just doesn't want to be there. So,
right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I mean, when it comes down to it, like you said, do you really want to squeeze 1-2 years maximum of disgruntled years out of Aaron Rodgers where he's giving 50, 75, 85% rather than the 100% is required of him to be able to lead this team? Do you do that? No, it's just, it's bad business. It's bad for the football team. It's bad all the way around. Mm-hmm. You cut your losses right now and roll the dice and see what you got. Look, they took Jordan Love for a reason last year. Jordan was one of those quarterbacks that was ranked consistently pretty high on the draft boards. And a lot of people were surprised that he fell a little bit. When Green Bay picked him up, the first thing people said was, oh, there we go. There's the future. Now we got a quarterback controversy. So they obviously think highly enough for him to be able to possibly lead this team. If not, there are options. You know, I mean, there will be options next year in terms of trades, in terms of the draft once again. So if this is indeed the end and Aaron's pretty much dug his heels in, we even heard Brett Favre say the other day that he has, then this is the time to do it. This is the time to kind of fish or cut bait, because I don't see Green Bay being able to topple the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I know that's going to anger a lot of Green Bay fans, but I just don't see it this year, even with Aaron Rodgers on that roster. I just don't think they've done enough to overtake the champions. So going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens this year.
Yeah, and we got a lot of time to wait because we are officially in the stretch of time where the littlest amount of action happens in the NFL. There's the draft is over. Mm-hmm. There's no anticipation of that. Mini camps are, well, you know, sort of non-existent. A training camp, a couple months away. And we'll finally start to get into it then. But until then, you're going to hear a lot of filler, a lot of Aaron Rodgers talk, assuming he doesn't get traded tomorrow. And certainly all the anticipatory storylines that we're going to talk about. Although next week we do get the schedule out. So we will have something to kind of sink our teeth into and discuss.
That's right.
Next week when we know who's playing who and we finally find out when. Tom Brady returns to New England to play the Patriots as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It should be interesting. So
let's put it this way. Mm-hmm. My prediction is that Ian's going to be having a very nice ham dinner that night.
That's right. I will be hamming it up.
Just saying.
He
doesn't have turkey like all us other red-blooded Americans.
No, he
does the ham route.
Yeah, I go ham. Turkey's for the people that have been told their whole life that turkey is good. All right? You've been brainwashed. All right, folks?
You calling me a sheep?
Yes, I am. If you like turkey, I am. I don't care who you are. I don't care who
you're talking to me.
I don't even have it up here anymore. Never mind. I was going to play a soundbite, but it's not the right one. It wouldn't have made sense.
But
I like the face. It's good. See, a little bit. But anyways, next week we'll talk about schedule, talk about Aaron Rodgers, talk about all that fun stuff. We will be on tomorrow though. Tomorrow is Friday. That means we're going to be here. So until then, give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live at Full Press Radio. I'm at IGLEN31. And of course, Mike is at MDABATEFPC. Folks, as you can see on the screen, download the app. It's free. It's available. Apple and the Google Play Store. And of course, download it and share it with your friends. Rate it. Do all that fun stuff. Have a great day, folks, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.